Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's bring in super friend of the show, Mary-Kate Cabot, from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. She is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Mary-Kate. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Mary-Kate.
Good. I keep saying this over and over. I didn't cover the Browns or like the Browns as a kid, because I would have loved to have watched that game without a rooting interest on Sunday. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it was a great game to watch. It's hard to stomach it because a lot of people think the Browns should have and could have won that game.
Yeah, I think so. I think that is the prevailing sentiment, that they should have been able to win that game. And I honestly think that, I think that if they had their full complement of defenders, I think they could have pulled it off. I mean, it's hard enough to go into a game without Jadeveon Clowney and Greg Newsome, but then to lose Denzel Ward early on and to have all the ins and outs, you had Malik McDowell going down for a while. There was just a lack of continuity in terms of the whole entire defense. And in a game like that, in a shootout like that, you need to bring your A people and your A game. So I do think that if they meet again and they have a healthy defense, the Chargers can watch out.
So are you concerned at all about what we saw against the defense, or is it just the injuries and bad luck that chimed into it?
I'm not really concerned about the defense at all. I think the future looks really bright, and the immediate future looks bright. Now, we don't know about some of these injuries yet. So hopefully Browns fans kind of need to cross their fingers a bit, and so did the Browns, that some of these aren't too serious. I have a feeling that some key guys might have to miss a little bit of time. I mean, anytime Jadeveon's knee flares up right before the game and he can't play, I think that's a concern. Jack Conklin walking off with a knee injury and not coming back into the game, that in my mind is a concern. Hopefully Denzel's neck is not something that's going to keep him out for a long period of time, because that's the thing that can derail this good football team, and that's key injuries to good players. So hopefully for Browns fans and for the Browns, nothing will be too serious. But I do think that this defense is on the rise, and that there's nothing to worry about.
Still, Mary-Kate, with the injuries, and I'm just curious your thoughts on if you think the Browns might try to make a move before the trade deadline to try to bring in some help defensively, especially in the defensive backfield, or try to make some kind of move. I know they're constantly trying to turn the roster over at the bottom, but if the opportunity is to turn it over at the top, do you think they'll take advantage of that?
Well, I think some of that will depend on the outcome of some of these MRIs. I mean, if you recall, last year, out of necessity with Grant Delpit, they had to go out and trade for Ronnie Harrison right before the start of the season. So, injuries can dictate what happens at the trade deadline. I don't think that they would have been looking for anybody in particular before this latest round of injuries, but we'll have to see what the outcome is on any of that. Another thing I think that's been going on a little bit with the defensive backfield is, when we talked to John Johnson last week, I asked him about, some of his low rankings on PFF and different things. And he admitted that the adjustment to the real deep post safety that he's been playing here, which has been his primary role, it's taken him a while to get used to that and to feel comfortable. So I think he's one of those players that as the Browns go along in this season, he will get better because he'll figure that out. Or if that's not the exact perfect role for him, then they'll find one where they can sort of unlock his talent and ability, because I think there's a lot more where that came from John Johnson, their biggest acquisition of free agency in the offseason. So these are some of the issues that are going on, but I think that in November and December they should be humming along.
Mary Kay, a lot of people, and again, just taking a look at one of your stories about, you know, can't relying on the officials. Like, a lot of fans are mad about the officiating. I think it's kind of a waste of time to argue about officials at this point. I think the only thing that we can get out of this somewhere down the road is, you know, eye in the sky and having a different way of calling these games. Because, yes, these games had an impact on the game, but at the end of the day, you gave up more than 40 points. I don't know how you can start whining about the officials, you know. And I know, I mean, I people are irritated by it, but by the same token, I think the only thing you can ever hope for down the road is that something changes.
Well, I think that with technology today, that the NFL should use any amount of technology they can to get these calls right. You know, the last thing anybody needs is for a game to be decided on a bad call. And granted, yes, those were bad calls that the Browns were complaining about. But, and I haven't gone back and listened to all the post game from Minnesota yet, but if you recall, on the very last play of the game, Kirk Cousins heaves a ball into the end zone for Adam Thielen, and he had been, you know, held up basically in the end zone already by Greedy Williams. So these things might not necessarily even out in the course of one football game, but I think over the course of a season, they do. Because those guys could have had a legitimate beef about that. All they had to do was complete that pass, and it's a tie ball game, or they win the game. So, once again, I think that, yes, these were bad calls that the Browns had to contend with on Sunday. But I'm of the mind, I'd rather not, after a hard-fought game like that where everybody leaves everything out on the field and you have some really great performances, I'd rather not hear all of that complaining about the officiating afterwards. I just don't I'm just not one to love that sort of thing.
Mary Kay, do you think they can make the argument now, especially with the league, because of gambling and the way gambling's kind of worked its way into football, that there might be a little bit of pressure or a little bit of need to use that eye in the sky to kind of want that a little bit quicker? Because, you know, you get into the ethics of the game, and I couldn't believe how many people I heard talking about gambling and bettors and officiating affecting a game. Like, I would think that the NFL next year would be in a hurry to get to eye in the sky just to make sure that everybody knows things are on the up and up.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always been for using any kind of technology, and I think that you're right. I think maybe the gambling element, which is going to change a lot of things, I think that could hasten using the technology, the eye in the sky, a little bit more. I mean, if everyone at home can see something, then the league and the teams should utilize that to the best of their ability and always, always get it right.
Mary Kay Cabot at Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, 3rd and 10 in that game, they turn around and hand off to Kareem Hunt when you have a 1-point lead on your side of the ball. Does Kevin Stefanski not trust Baker Mayfield, or are we looking into this too much?
Well, you know, I think there were a lot of layers to that call, and Kevin Stefanski took the blame yesterday for being a little too preoccupied with what went on the second 9 before that, which, of course, we know was, the non-interference calls against Donovan Peoples-Jones and Rashard Higgins, and, you know, and that seemed to impact what happened next. I mean, then there were also the offensive tackles were not in the game. There was just a lot going on there. There was a lot going on, and he, he assumed the blame for that and vowed that he's not going to let that sort of thing happen again, which I think is really good. And then I think another huge issue coming out of this game, and I wrote about this right after the game, was the fact that, look, there was another 20 yards of production between Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. It's something to at least take a look at, okay? There are 12 games left in the regular season. There's a trade deadline coming up. I mean, it's just at least something to be aware of that these guys are still a work in progress.
So, Mary Kay, with that, and I don't know, maybe I'm digging too much into this and I'm looking at this stuff, but I watched Zach Taylor hand the ball to Joe Burrow and say, okay, go win me this game. And we're talking, like, I know Rodgers does it, and I know Mahomes does it, and Herbert, and all those different things down the line. But, like, when your coach is looking at Joe Burrow and going, all right, throw it. We got to win this. We got to make these throws. We've got to do this. And then I'm watching a Browns quarterback hand the ball off. Like, I'm just wondering if something's wrong here. I mean, it just smells funny, Mary Kay. That's all. It just smells funny.
Well, again, I think that, you know, when you're into your tackle depth there and you've got, you know, Blake and James and you've got Joey Bosa across from you and a good defensive front, I think that played a role in it as well. And this is a really bad run defense they were playing against. And the Browns have hit some home runs with their, you know, with their running game. Now, again, Kevin Stefanski has admitted, you know, in quotes, he was sick about that call and he knows that it wasn't the right thing to do there. But, you know, but I think there was some method to his madness. I mean, it wasn't just completely, you know, just a brain lock or something like that. I think in that moment that he felt like, you know, maybe this could possibly work. So I think there were a lot of factors. But you bring up a good point, and I wrote about this again yesterday. Look at the quarterback play going on in the NFL right now. I mean, my goodness. Lamar Jackson, look what Justin Herbert did the other day. Look what Josh Allen did. The bar has been set enormously high. And as Brandon Staley said after the game, you need a superstar quarterback to pull out those kind of shootouts. And I think Baker's got it in him, but he has to step it up. He has to step it up in those kind of situations and be the gamer that we all know he is.
Mary Kay, I got to tell you, I was surprised at the end of the game when Kevin said that they were playing for the Hail Mary with a minute 30. Did that take you aback when he said that?
Yeah, that was a little different. I mean, because I think that, you know, Baker attempted 7 passes on that final drive. And Odell Beckham Jr. was out there, and this is why I also think this is a little odd. I don't think Baker is necessarily trusting Odell, or maybe Kevin's not. I don't know. I think at this point, after the drop, that Baker just wasn't going to put the ball in Odell's hands in the clutch. But that's what he's here for. He's your $15 million player. He's got the highest salary on the team. I mean, remember back to the Dallas game last year when he single-handedly won that football game with 3 touchdowns, including that 50-yard reverse. There's some kind of a play that you can get out of Odell Beckham Jr. on one of those last 2 drives.
Yeah.
And I just think that they were remiss in not utilizing him in any of those situations. You've got to forgive a drop. I mean, receivers drop passes.
Yep.
He was open in Minnesota a ton. That was not his fault. That was Baker just having an off game. So there's something going on there that I think is that needs to be addressed internally with those guys, because I just thought that there were other things that you could do that they didn't.
Erica, what do you think about the trust between Kevin and Baker at the end of the game too? I mean, he had a phenomenal game. And he was super aggressive, especially fourth down again. And then at the end of the game, it just felt like he got super conservative. Is there a matter of trust there, too?
Well, I mean, he did throw 3 times at the end, 3 deep balls at the end, all of which felt incomplete. And so, you know, I'm not exactly sure what is going on. I mean, it's something to kind of dive into a little bit more and figure out. But certainly 3rd and 9 is a situation where, you know, you would think that if you have complete trust in your quarterback that, you know, that you're going to throw the ball in that situation. So, I don't know. It's difficult. I'm shocked right now that the passing game is where it is. I think we all expected a lot more. I think having Jarvis back will help tremendously. But there's still plenty of weapons on this football team, as you saw on Sunday. So I don't think that, you know, it can just all be passed off to that. It's just you know, something that they need to get worked out as they move through the rest of the season.
Yeah, Mary Kay, I thought you brought up a great point there, too, with Jarvis. One, do you think he'll be back this week? And two, the wide receivers look significantly different with him out. Now, I understand that's kind of common sense, but it goes back to that trust thing. Like, I don't think that the chemistry is not there with any of the wide receivers the way it is when Jarvis is in the game. So let's start with if you think he's going to be back. And then the second part of that question about just the way the wide receivers have looked while he's been out.
Well, I almost have to wonder if, you know, somewhere down the road, Baker or someone else is going to say, yeah, it was hard to throw with the harness on. Or, you know what I mean? You just almost have to wonder if something like that is going to, be talked about later on. Because, you know, even on those passes at the end, you know, the first 2 I thought were overthrown a little bit. You know, I just didn't think that, you know, they were as on the money as Baker usually is, although he rebounded in a big way, and I think that was huge. But I think that Jarvis coming back will help a ton. Now, will he be back this week? Don't know that for sure yet. I think at this point he maybe has like about a 50-50 chance of being back for this week, and they'll see how he does throughout the week. You don't want to rush him. You've got two games in 4 days. I think that's significant when it comes to a lot of these issues, injury issues. So we'll have to see how that goes. But I think a lot will change when he's back.
Mary Kay, great stuff. I always appreciate reading you every day, and we love talking to you every Tuesday, too. So, Mary Kay, thank you so much.
Really appreciate it, Mary Kay.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Mary Kay Cabot, Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, joins us every week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.